Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Colbert, here's Tony D.
And a good Friday morning to you. It's Wake Up Call. Tony D, Ron Culver. Glad you can be with us. Another week in the books. And another week done. And we move forward to see where we're going as a sports world when it comes to dealing with the coronavirus. Look, the NFL is having its draft next week. But you know what it's also having in the next couple of weeks? One of the more unique and fun sporting moments on the calendar. It's one that I always have a good time with because it's always brought in with so much fanfare and enthusiasm and expectation. Even though you're not getting a whole bunch of new information, and that is the release of the schedule. Oh, we've all loved it, right? When your favorite team releases its schedule for the upcoming fall, it's fun because you get to play the game of, you know, win losses, but you also get to see how it's laid out. How many Monday night games is my team going to get? How many Sunday night games is my team going to get? Are they going to be playing on Thursday night? And who are they going to be playing against? And where is it? Where's the bye week? Does it come early in the season, late in the season, middle of the season? Do we close out the year on the road three of the last four games? Is there a stretch of time where we're at home for three straight? Whatever it may be, whatever you're looking for out of the schedule. But you know who you're going to play and you know where you're going to play. The only thing the NFL is giving you is when you're going to play. And it's always that case every single year. And yet every single year, it's one of the most anticipated days of the season for football fans when their schedule gets released. I know I still look forward to it. You know, I still look at it and go, hey, I'm glad that, you know, we got a Monday night game against this team in late December. I love that. I love that. The NFL is giving a full slate. No need to get panicky and start saying we're trimming this thing down. You're going to get the full Monty, if you will, on May 9th. They had to push it back. It used to come in April. This year came in. It's coming in May. But you're still going to get that full schedule coming up. Play your win-loss game. Still get to do all that. And then, you know, we'll see as this coronavirus outbreak dies down what exactly the NFL season will look like. Fans, no fans, short schedule or not. But the schedule's coming out in May.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, again, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, Wake Up Call. So again, as I said earlier, May 9th is when the NFL schedule is going to get released. So you will know exactly when you'll be playing your rivals and what your schedule and role of games is going to look like. Should we have a full season in the NFL? Always one of the fun days out of the year, but you know who you're going to play. You know where those games are. You just don't know when. That's all you're getting. Is
where you secretly hope that you're playing a hard team, maybe early, mid part of the season.
That's all. Yeah, that's all.
You don't want it in the first 4 weeks, but you certainly don't want it in the last four.
Yeah, exactly. See, this is one of the reasons why I, you know, when they talk about expansion or whatever, I'm like, I don't like messing with the NFL schedule. I like the rhythm of it. I like the way it looks. I like the way you can figure this out. You don't need to throw in another team here, or London team. Remember when they were, I don't want any of that. Don't make a mess of this. Just I like the way you got it with the 32 teams and four teams per conference and division, and you know that you play everybody in yours twice. You play another division and a division in another conference, and then the three other games based on how you finish. I like that, or two other games based on how you finish. I like the you know, you can know what year, for example, whatever city you live in. Let's say you're in Houston. You can figure out when the Chargers come to Houston. Right. I mean, you know, hey, the Chargers are going to be in Houston on this year, or they might play them in Houston based on if they finish, together in the same, if they both are second place teams or they're both third place teams or whatever it is. There's a way you can figure that out without just sort of here you go, surprise, right? I like it. So I don't want to mess, don't mess with it. But it is one of the more anticipated days. And I've always thought about this. I don't think it is anticipated because people are doing real in-depth analysis on their team's schedule. I don't think, I'm not going to lose sleep if my team has to go on the road two of 3 weeks to close out the season. But I think what it is it's another one of those. It's like when you're in deep winter and you have a balmy day and all of a sudden you see a little grass in your front yard, just a little patch of grass. You're like, spring is coming. Here's a sign. Spring is on the way. It's like when the moving truck leaves your baseball team's facility on a winter day driving to Florida or Arizona. It's not anything, but it's a sign. And I think that's what people take the schedule release as. Like, it's another indication that it's coming. Like, it's coming. I gotta go through the next couple of months. I gotta go through the summer, but training camp will start and it's coming. This year, obviously different. We don't know. We don't know what the schedule is going to look like. We don't know if we're getting a full season in or if we're going to get a quarter of a season in or half a season in or three quarters of a season in. I have no idea. Are we going to push this, we're going to get all the whole season in, but it's not going to start till November? We have no idea. But at least it is it is those markings that you're getting in the sports world that says, hey, there's hope. We're giving it to you. Look, I don't think, and look, we're coming to a point, I've been seeing this on the news a lot lately, where there's a lot of social unrest based on this quarantine. You're seeing protests now in North Carolina, protests now in Michigan, based on stay-at-home orders and whatnot. But I think most people are smart enough to figure out, we want sports back, but we want to do it safely. We don't want the players at risk. We don't want fans at risk. We want it, but if all the experts say you can't have it, we don't want to force it. But that's not what you're getting. You're not getting the NFL giving you the draft per se and saying constantly, and oh, by the way, there probably won't be a season in the fall. They're not doing that, and nor should they do that. We're all going to be disappointed if we get to July and we realize, oh man, we're not in the clear yet. We still got to wait. We're not going to start this thing until November now. Yeah, that would be really disappointing. It would drive me nuts. Listen, I want a full college football season. And if I get it in the spring, I'll be fine with it. But I'll definitely miss it if it's not in the fall. Of course, I'll miss it if it's not in the fall. If my fall Saturdays don't have college football, I'll be sad. But at the same time, I'll at least know, hey, look, the reason for it is there's no kids on college campuses. All right? I can separate the two. I can want sports back, but I can want it safely. I don't want anybody at risk so I can watch college football on my TV. All right? I don't want students at risk so that the university can start figuring out its athletic budget. I don't want, I don't think many of us want that. But the thing is that if sports comes back if we have the NFL season start on time, if we have college football starting on time, then there's going to be a feeling around the country that things are getting back to normal. And that's kind of what we want. And we're going to be using sports in a lot of ways as a barometer for that. We can come back to work. A lot of us can go back to work at offices, keeping social distances, because maybe our office has 7 people in it. Right? We're like, okay, there's some space here. I don't work in a big cubicle area with 500 other people. Maybe that business comes back at another time. But when sports comes back, you're going to start feeling like, all right, maybe things are going to start opening up again. Things are going to start coming together again. Sure, I'm watching a game with a quarter of the stadium filled, but I'm at least watching something and I feel like just keep giving me little bits and pieces. It's like, when you get up to walk after being in bed for a very, very long time, it takes a while before you get. Listen, when I go downstairs for the first time when I got out of bed to come do this, I walk down the steps one at a time. Like, I don't run down the stairs like I'm 14 years old. Yeah, I'm always like, I got to get moving. I got to take it a little slow. Get up, get something to drink. Right? That's what we're going to see in the sports world. It's going to open up with half, probably nobody in stadiums. Then a little bit. And there may be a story about somebody getting coronavirus and that team has to go into shut, whatever it is. But it's gonna, we're going to walk before we run, but at least we'll be walking, and that's the key.
Yeah, I kind of equate it to what was said yesterday during the press conference, presidential press conference again, mm-hmm. or the coronavirus, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
I can't remember the woman doctor's name. But
Dr. Bricks?
Dr. Bricks, is that her name?
Is that who it is? I think so, yeah.
But what she basically said was, you know, when we return to workforce, when everyone's allowed to go back to work, you know, maybe only have like, you know, 20% of your workforce come
sure.
back.
Sure. That's it. That's great.
Yeah, then test that for a week or two and see how that works. And then you slowly start reintroducing other people and just to kind of keep the spread of it down.
Yeah, I think we all know that's
probably going to be stadiums.
Yeah, we all know that this, it's not a light switch, right? It's not. We're not. That's
yeah, we're not going to wake up one day like right? We're not going to wake up one day and go, hey, you remember that coronavirus? Gone.
Yeah, gone. Like you're back in traffic going, oh, well, all right. Well, yeah, I didn't miss this.
But,
you know.
But having said that, we will be to that point at one point. We will be sitting in traffic and we will be looking going, oh, God, I remember when I used to fly down the street. Wow, that was so long. It wasn't that long ago. And we're back to normal again.
Exactly.
Thought this day would never come. And here we are. We're back.
And I think going back to the release of the schedule and having the draft next week. Look, these are just signs of hope. These are just the NFL saying if we're going to have a season like, because the NFL, like everybody else, we can't read the future. We don't know what's happening. So we don't know what September is going to look like. So the NFL is playing it smart. They're saying, look, if we're good to go in September, then we got to be good to go in some capacity now. Right? Because if we held off our draft until June, then we'd have to hold off camp until, you know, September. And then we're pushing the season. And we may not have to push back the season. And if we do, we do. Look, if we get to July and we're still all quarantined and the powers that be are on the TV going, yeah, it just took us by surprise. It's still longer than we thought. Okay, then the NFL's got a decision to make. College football's got a decision to make.
Yeah,
right. We'll decide when we get there.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yep.
It's hard to speculate what is in the future. I mean, it could be next week and we can see all of a sudden a huge jump in. It's like, oh, nope, shut everything down, turn it all off.
In the meantime, you get to play, oh, that's a loss, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a loss. That's
just
a
hope. Loss. Just something to look forward to.
Yeah. So
it's like planning a vacation. You know, you don't just wake up one day and it's like, hey, honey, let's go to Europe.
That's right.
You know, I mean, I wish I could do that, but.
That's right. I think that's the one thing I'm grateful for the NFL, because all the other sports had to shut down and they did not know what their future held, right? All the other sports were in the middle of what they were doing, and the NBA had to shut down and no answers. And the NHL had to shut down, no answers. Baseball did the same thing. The NFL is lucky enough that they're like, well, we're not in that position. We don't have to shut down because we're not playing. What we're doing is just business, and the business has to be altered, but we're going to do business in another way. But we don't have to shut down, and we don't have to come up with answers. We don't have to yet. There may be a time where we're going to have to, but it's not today. And so until we have to, we're going to continue along in the schedule. I know they got ripped for it. Look, I've been their biggest supporter in all of this, and saying don't fall into the trap of being told that holding the draft is unsensitive and it doesn't have good optics.
Stupid.
It has good optics. It has good optics because there are people that are saying, I can't take this anymore. I can't take it anymore. I went on another drive yesterday. I'm running out of things to watch.
We were flipping through channels yesterday, and we just couldn't decide what we wanted to watch because nothing looked good.
Yeah.
It's like we're just so tired of TV. We're so tired of movies. We're so tired of, you know, watching this documentary or binge watching this TV show. That just there's nothing on TV that was satisfying. And it's just because we're cooped up. We're stuck. We just want to you know, like you said, you just wanted to go for a drive. I mean, you could have sat in your house and stayed there and been under quarantine and watched another 30 for 30 or watched a movie that you hadn't seen in a while or a brand new movie. But you're just tired of sitting and watching a box.
I know the other day on TV, there was another piece that my local news was doing on some country star or some, somebody, they're showing these social videos and like, ha, this is so-and-so. And I'm reminding you, stay home, stay. And I screamed, I know, I get it. I get it. You've been telling me this for a month. I know.
How about
I
this?
Know.
How about next time you come on? Why don't you and I swap houses?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Give me your pool and your gym and your big movie theater and, you know, you a place to go away for where nobody can find you and your game room and everything else that you have. I know. Right? But what it is it's frustrating. And people, this is why people are having social unrest, because there's the anxiety attached to being trapped. And again, this is why I'm on the side of the NFL. Thursday night, give us something that matters.
Yep.
Give us something that has tremendous value. You know what? To my wife or some of my friends that don't care about sports, they may find it trivial that I may go Justin Herbert or questionable Tua Tagovailoa. But I'm glad I'm going to be able to figure that out. I'm glad I'm going to be able to dissect that. And I'm glad the NFL is giving me an opportunity to figure out where that's going to go. Because, you know, I think it's needed. All right, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up in 15 minutes. You don't want to miss that. If you'd like to chime in on Twitter, you can at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Coming up next, back to the NCAA, back to the college recruits, I mean, the high school recruits going to the G League. There's one aspect of it that's kind of lost in it that's coming in a couple of years that may change the game for college sports. That's next, SB Nation AM.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, when your battery goes dead, everything could come to a stop, so don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge if your battery needs to be replaced. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, so we've been talking this morning about the news that Jalen Green, the high school phenom, is heading to the NBA G League. He'll make $500,000. He'll be in development as he gets ready for the 2021 NBA draft. He is one of those can't-miss prospects, et cetera, et cetera. Normally, this would have been a perfect opportunity to go to Kentucky, Duke, Kansas, place like that, play for 1 year, move on. Or if he was really bold, he could go to Australia, or he could go to someplace overseas, Spain, wherever, play basketball there for a year before he is drafted by the pros. But you know what's lost in all this? And people saying, look, this is a hit for the NCAA, et cetera, et cetera. Lost in all this is in a couple of years, the NCAA is going to be in a place where a kid like him would be weighing financially going to the G League for a certain amount of money or going to Kentucky for a certain amount of money. You know, when that comes to fruition, when we are going to be talking about athletes making money off of their image and likeness, what was the overriding issue that we talked about when that issue came up, right? Was how much will these guys be able to make based on their impact on the university? So if you have a kid that is, you know, like this kid who's just, again, a can't miss prospect, and you are a big booster at Kansas or any name, I don't care, name your school. You could offer him a ton of money unless there are restrictions that are going to be put in place by the NCAA. And if that's the case, if the NCAA says, well, you can only make X amount of dollars, then what was the point of all this in the first place? Right? Because the point of all this was this idea of a free market, the idea of an athlete controlling their own financial interest, controlling their image and likeness, right? Not getting paid from the university, but using what they do as a way to better themselves. But if the NCAA says, well, you only can make $20,000 a year on this, right? Well, we're back at square one in a way, not financially, but in a way of the NCAA coming down with yet another hammer on these kids. That was one of the main reasons why this was explored in the first place, was to get these kids out of that, you know, to get them off of that umbrella and into their own worlds, to manage who they are and their own image and likeness for whatever the market may bear. So if you have kind of the wild, wild west of boosters offering a kid like Jalen Green a chance to go to a school and make a lot of money at that university, then the G League comes in and it just becomes yet another financial option rather than a big statement into my future. Because today, when you can't make any money playing in college, I'm sure there's many who have said, listen, what if I did get hurt? We got to get an insurance policy. I don't really want to give away this talent for nothing. I'm not using it for an education. I don't want to get an education there. I'm not using it to get a degree, which is, you know, I'm using it because I can't go anywhere else. And I don't want to go to Australia. All right. I don't want to go to Spain. So I don't know what to do. I can't play professional. And I can't just sit around the house and do nothing. Well, I mean, you know, outside of the quarantine. What they're saying is, all right, I guess I have to go to play college basketball, give away this ability for nothing. They aren't getting anything in return, right? They're really not. They're not there to get a degree in engineering, right? They're there to just because that's where our sports society tells them, if you want to stay in this country, this is where you have to go. And now the G League is saying, you don't have to leave the country. You can now come to us. We will pay you. Well, in a few years, the colleges are going to be able to say the exact same thing. So all of this notion, all of this stuff that you're going to start seeing about people going, this is a blow to the NCAA. Until they can make money off their image and likeness, and then you watch how quickly it becomes more lucrative to play in Lexington than it is to play wherever you're going to be located in the G League. You're going to find that it's going to be a better option to go to Kansas than to go play in the NBA's Development League. And then we're back again. We're back at square one again. Of one and dones, using the college basketball system, not really there to get an education, just there to hone some basketball skills until they're ready to turn pro. And all of the things that we find uncomfortable about one and done are just going to be back, but it's also going to be back with money attached to it. It's going to be back knowing that they're utilizing the University of Kentucky or Kansas or North Carolina or wherever, utilizing that avenue to make money for a car dealership or whatever it may be. I don't care. And then we're back in order. This idea that this is a game changer is only a game changer for now until the NCAA sorts out how players can make money off their image and likeness. But here's the thing. Many of us have been sort of mentally trained when it comes to college athletics to forget that aspect is coming. We still just see it as giving away your talent. In a few years, we won't be talking about that. In a few years, we'll be talking about guys making business decisions to go to universities because of what they can get out of that university outside of a few class credits that they don't really want to use anyway. That is where the conversation is going to be. You'll see bidding wars. You'll be hearing about how more lucrative it is going to be playing at school A than school B. You'll be hearing the names of boosters a lot more when you shouldn't be hearing them at all. But if there's a local guy that everybody knows is a big money booster to State U, he's going to be famous. Because he's going to be attached to the athletes that are going to be coming into that program. That's the new world. This is just a step in a different direction, but there's a whole world coming.
Wake up call continues now. Continues now. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb, the Friday edition. This is how we end the week. This is how we get you ready for the weekend. Yes, it's a different kind of weekend, but we want to make you feel good with the good of the day. So the good of the day is?
The good of the day, because we have to mention it. I don't know if you've heard or if you guys out there in the across the nation have heard. There's a little documentary that's going to be airing Sunday.
That's right. We talked about it yesterday. Big, big deal.
A big, big deal. Well, Michael Jordan was on Good Morning America yesterday.
I saw that with Robin Roberts, right?
He was talking to Robin Roberts.
Yep.
And my good of the day is that if we get little nuggets like the one I'm about to play for you, this is going to be fantastic. Robin Roberts asked him about the final season he had with the Bulls. That, you know, there was a lot of trying times. You know, you hear a lot of stories about it. And Jordan was very candid about it. Here it is.
Well, it was a trying year. We all were trying to enjoy that year, knowing that it was coming to an end. I was hoping that, you know, the beginning of the season, it basically started when Jerry Krause told Phil that, you know, he can go 82-0 and he would never get the chance to come back. And, you know, knowing that I married myself to him, you know, obviously, and if he wasn't going to be a coach, then, you know, obviously I wasn't going to play. So Phil started off the year by saying this is the last dance, and we played it that way, you know. So mentally, it just kind of it tugged at you throughout the course of the year, you know. But that this had to come to an end. But it also centered our focus to making sure we end it right. So I mean, as sad as it sounded at the beginning of the year, we tried to rejoice and enjoy the year, and finish it off the right way.
Oh, that's going to be good. That's good.
I just love the fact where you just, I mean, you never knew. Jerry Krause told Phil Jackson, you can go 82-0, and you're still not going to get your job.
Not coming back. That's right.
That's amazing.
Amazing. Amazing. I hope so, too. I think, again, there's a time element here where there's a huge gap, so I'm hoping people are like, you know what, screw it. I'm going to be as honest as I can to this.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you exactly what the hell was going on.
I hope that is the case. I hope that people just go, you know, this is, we're just going to lay it all out there.
Yeah.
Just tell it like it is.
I really am looking forward to this because I think there is just so much this detail. And if it's well put together and people say this is very well put together, then I'm really looking forward to watching this play out. It's great. It's good. And this is, again, probably one of the most anticipated documentaries since the OJ documentary from a couple years ago.
And what was great about it is that we got excited about it. When did they first announce it? Like back in December?
Yeah, that's right.
And
we were
excited about it then. Said this is going to be must watch.
Yeah, remember this was going to air in June, right?
Yeah.
And then they moved it up. All of us quarantined.
Thank you. We get to watch it now. Let's start this weekend.
Hey, you know, but it's smart of them to do it. If you really want a captive audience to make sure that people aren't going to a baseball game that night or maybe an NBA Finals game that night or whatever, you know, whatever could be going on in your neck of the woods, this is one way to make sure that you're going to get the max amount of viewership possible.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
We got no place to go.
Yeah, this is where you push up all your projects if you're network television. Or even cable television. I don't care if you're AMC. Who cares? If you got a big, if you had a big thing that was coming in August, figure out a way to move that bad boy up. You got a captive audience now. You know, you got an audience that's dying for more content. But you know, I mean, I've been like binge watching these 30 for 30s, but I'm watching ones I've already seen.
Right.
I want something new. You know, I like. Oh yeah, I remember that. Let me rewatch that. I want to absorb stuff where I just, you know, leave me alone. I'm watching this. I can't wait to see how this plays out. So I'm looking forward to
this. It's 8 hours, 8 episodes.
Yeah. 8 episodes. Or, it's going to be 2 per Sunday for 4 weeks.
Man, fantastic.
Yeah, I know. Very excited. All right. The bad of the day.
Well, the bad of the day, I originally was going to talk about Dr. Oz just being an idiot.
Yeah.
But
I saw this.
I said, you know what? He's an idiot.
I don't Can we touch on Dr. Oz for a second?
You want to touch on Dr. Oz?
Real quick. Did he? Because he said that kids going back to school, it's worth it because there's a 2-3% death rate. It would be worth the two. He had to have misspoke on that. The death rate isn't 2 or 3% on this in the first place.
Yeah. Well, he did come back and misspoke. No, he said, I don't think it was a 2-3% death rate. He said we may lose about 2-3% of the kids that go back to school.
No, I don't think he said that. Hold on. Well, let's get that quote right because I don't want to attribute him. I think he was.
He came out and said he misspoke.
I don't think he was talking about kids because nobody thinks kids get it. There aren't a ton of children dying from this, and I don't think anybody is believing that kids die from this. I think he's talking about kids bringing it home, and then giving it to mom and dad or grandma and grandpa or whoever they're living with.
Nah, I think he was talking about kids.
You sure?
Yeah,
because he would literally be the first one that is speaking on this, that's saying children will die. There'll be, you know, hundreds and thousands of children dying.
But basically,
there's one thing they're finding out about this is children aren't dying from this.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very few. I've seen maybe one or two stories since this started.
Basically what he said, maybe I'm paraphrasing this from the Washington Post. Dr. Oz, a controversial medical pundit, had urged sending children back to class for a 2-3% mortality trade-off.
Yeah, right. So again, the reason the kids are home is because they don't want to give it to mom and dad.
No, but kids can catch it too.
Yeah, but they're not.
Well, some are.
But they're not dying in mass.
Well, that's true. They're not dying in mass.
So he does not know. He's not saying that. They're just not. For whatever reason, I don't know what it is.
Regardless if it's kids, though, I mean, for a doctor to go, trade-off is okay.
That's what I mean. But the death rate of this isn't 2-3% anyway. Is it?
It's around there, I think. I think it's...
is it? Maybe it is. I don't know.
I think it is. I think it's up there.
All right, so... But that's...
But he did come out and apologize
for his comments. Yeah, that's kind of a dumb thing to say.
But
yeah, why are we going to Dr. Oz anyway? I didn't know he was an expert in this. I thought he was an expert in television stuff. And I know he's a real doctor, but I didn't know he was an epidemiologist.
Yeah. I didn't know that either. I don't really know what he's a doctor of, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so.
But I decided to touch on a different story that came across me today. Was that Alabama wide receiver Jerry Jeudy.
What did he do?
Yeah, he's expected to be a top 10 overall pick, right?
I believe he is, yes.
Well, as we're getting closer to draft, as you would expect, Wunderlich scores have been released. And if you guys don't know what the Wunderlich score is, it tests your mental capacity, basically. And anyone who scores a 10 on the Wunderlich score is considered illiterate.
Anybody who gets a 10?
A 10, yeah. Because the scale, I think the top score you can get is like 49 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Because we always hear about somebody getting like a really, really high score. And you're like, wow, that's amazing.
But according to this test, if you score a 10, you're considered illiterate. A score between 10 and 20 is poor. Where do you think Jerry Jeudy scored?
Oh, please don't tell me like an 8.
No, a little bit better.
Give him a 9. 14?
9.
A 9?
A 9.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Does he get to take that again?
No. You don't get to take the Wunderlich again.
Well, what if he had a bad day? What if his number 2 pencil didn't work?
Don't know what I could tell you.
Oh, no.
So.
Oh, no. How do you spin that?
I don't think you can. I mean, it says Jerry Jeudy reportedly scored a 9. By comparison, USC wideout Michael Pittman scored a 29.
And that's good.
That's better.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah, Michael Pittman's not getting offers from Mensa.
If you're his agency, if you're Jerry Jeudy's agency, what do you do?
I guess.
Do you tell people you tell the NFL that
I guess
it was stupid anyway? Not, you know?
I guess you say, hey, just focus what he's done on the field. He runs his routes cleanly. He catches every ball thrown to him.
There's a reason why they have that.
Yes.
I mean, listen, I don't know. Like, to me, I'm like, all right. I mean, but the Wunderlich has never gone away.
No.
Of all the things that they're doing in combine and pre-prep work and all this, the Wunderlich is still used. They still use it. So it has to have some value in the office of these teams. We may think it's kind of, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, but now, for them, they're like, we're never getting rid of this test.
I'm going to read off some names for you. These are people who scored worse than that. And you tell me if they're, how their NFL career went, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Chris Leak.
Okay, 30.
I don't really remember. No, 30. Oh. No. He scored. These are people who scored lower than 9.
Oh, I thought I was guessing. I'm
no,
sorry.
No. Chris Leak. NFL career?
Yeah, nothing. I don't think he did anything.
Vince Evans.
Vince Evans was a quarterback for the Buccaneers, I think, at one point.
Yeah, he scored an 8 on the Wonderlic.
Okay.
Bobby Wagner.
I know the name, but I don't know where he went.
Bobby Wagner, wasn't he?
Wasn't he with
the Seahawks, right?
Oh, yeah, he was with the Seahawks, right.
Yeah, so, I mean, his career was decent.
Why was I thinking of somebody else?
I don't know. These guys scored a 7 on the Wonderlic. Terrell Pryor.
Okay.
But remember, I think that's part of the reason why he dropped so drastically.
Yeah, right.
Tavon Austin.
All right.
And Kelvin Benjamin.
Those guys made it.
Vince Young, Frank Gore, and Oscar Davenport all reportedly score a 6.
Okay, well, now I feel better about Jerry Jeudy's.
So Frank Gore definitely had a great career. Vince Young, Oscar Davenport, I don't remember Oscar Davenport.
You know, it's like if I was Jerry Jeudy's camp, I'd be like, look, if you want him to navigate a nuclear submarine, he's probably not your guy. But if you want him to have over 1,000 yards receiving and beat out those NFL corners, that's my guy. My guy will score you touchdowns.
But I mean, the thought is that he might drop in the draft a little bit now.
He might
out of top 10.
This is going to be such a fun draft because
you have to focus more on these stories.
That's right. This is going to be such a fun draft because you have nothing else. Like you couldn't bring in anybody for workouts. You couldn't bring anybody in for personal interviews. You had to do everything by Skype and Zoom. And there's so many more gut feelings, right? I just like that guy. I don't know what it is. I'm taking a chance. I'm rolling the dice. I'm gonna figure this out. That's what's going to be happening on Thursday.
Yes.
But he's one of the top receivers of a very heavy wide receiver class. So if you are a team that's like, man, that Wonderlic, I just can't get over that terrible score. Well, there's a couple of other wide receivers in the very deep wide receiving pool that you can go swim in. Go grab another guy then. We'll see.
Yep.
What if that pool was thin? What if he was one of the only like 2 guys that were first round level good? You'd be like, well, Wonderlic, Schmunderlic. Who cares? I need a guy who can catch passes.
And that's basically what it's going to come down to. I mean, you just look at his tape and go, yeah, I mean, he performed well on the field. If he messes up signing his contract and we have him for cheaper for longer.
That's right.
It's a win-win situation for us.
Good point. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Quickly, the dumb of the day is there's a pastor in Louisiana, Tony Spell, giving Tony a bad name.
Uh-oh. I don't like this.
He is challenging people to donate their $1,200 stimulus check to churches.
God, I wish all these people would be quiet with this stuff. I hate this. I hate these stories.
He pretty much says you got to give it away to evangelists who can't pass the offering plate while the pandemic's closed their churches. All I can say is good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that. What was that guy, Kenneth Copeland, was like blowing the virus away?
Yeah.
And he was, I was like, well, oh,
he, Tony no. Spell, the controversy he has is he came out and said, no, Christians wouldn't mind dying because, you know, they don't fear
dying.
It's like, you know, if that's the case, then you're not going to have any parishioners.
Yeah. No.
I don't know if that's good. And, you know, how can you challenge someone's like, you know what? You know what to do with that $1,200 check? Just slide it on underneath my door.
That's
he had
crazy.
3 simple rules for what he's calling the Pastor Spell Stimulus Challenge. First rule is, starts this Sunday. Second rule is, donate your stimulus money. And third rule is, give it to North American evangelists, missionaries, or music ministers who haven't received any money from parishioners in the past month.
Oh, okay. Well.
You got to be smarter than that, right?
Yeah, you really do. You really do.
Like, I think what it is, I mean, if you want money, don't go begging for it. Don't be saying, hey, you got to do this to be a good Christian.
Yeah, that's right.
That's where I have a problem with it.
No doubt.
And that's with any religion. That doesn't have to be Christianity. If you're pastor or whatever, priest, rabbi, I don't know what Islam preachers are called.
I think no matter what, when you have a large group of people that do one thing, you know, there's a large group of X, whatever it is, right? There's going to be some good and there's going to be some bad and there's going to be some that are going to scam the system. I don't care what profession you're in. You have a lot of people like that. There's going to be bad doctors. There's going to be great doctors. There's going to be doctors that are trying to scam the system. whatever. It's when you know we have this situation and you see the wolves come out and you see people who are just like, oh, I can't wait to get my, I'm making money off of this. I'll figure out a way to take advantage of this situation. And that just, yeah, you're right. That is not only dumb, but it really gets under people's skin. So good point. That's a good, the bad, the dumb. It is a Friday. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, again, thanks for joining us. That Wunderlich test story that you just did, poor Jerry Judy. Because there are people who don't like taking tests. They just get nervous taking tests. Yeah. They're smart, but they can't, you know.
And that could be very well, be the thing.
And you get it. You take a test. You're a young kid. You're trying to get in the NFL. You're trying to, you know. And all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, he's a 9. Oh, what a dummy!
I hate to say
it. I'm not a dummy, but I'm just
And it's horrible that the Wunderlich has a thing like, if you score a 10, you're basically illiterate.
Yeah, why?
Like
can't
we
they
already
just...
then we have this image of, you remember the movie The Program? We have
right.
Mac.
That's right, Mac. Yeah, that's right.
Who was reading at a 6th grade reading level?
Yeah. See, and that's. They make it public, and then they put it on a level. It's like, listen, I took tests in school. I would hate for that to be public knowledge. Like, hey, Tony's economics test came back, and guess what? He got a 69, a 67, a 64, whatever it was I got. I would hate that. I'd hate that. But nevertheless, I think he's still going to go in the top 15. But, yeah, to take your Wunderlich test and make it public, ouch.